Welcome to a World of Good podcast. I'm Nate Tapman.
And I'm Andrew Gale.
And we are two friends
who love Jesus,
care about the church,
and travel the world to share stories of people who do the same.
Our conversations happen in all kinds of places,
like a coffee shop in an airport terminal,
or even the back of a crowded taxi.
But no matter where we go, from Argentina to Zimbabwe,
we capture stories of the good God is doing around the world.
And we hope those stories will do you a world of good. This is Andrew Gale at A World of Good podcast, excited to have another episode recorded here at the West Africa Regional Meeting. You will probably hear lots of sounds in the background because there is lots happening. People are preparing for dinner. There's some worship that's being practiced. But we just finished a great day talking about women in ministry in the African context, hearing from the biblical point of view, hearing from the practical point of view from Pastor Mylis Ndau from Zambia, talking about her experience, and then having just a wonderful panel of leaders from across Ghana and Liberia and Cote d'Ivoire and Zambia, talking about their experience of being women and what it means to serve. And it's been a really great, a great conference so far. We're coming down to the end of it now, a final meal together, and then a final worship service. And we're so excited. Thank you so much, Pastor Chris, for you've been part of the team that's hosted us here. So yeah, thank you so much for hosting us.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And we're in, for those that don't know, we're in Yamoussoukro in Cote d'Ivoire, also known as the Ivory Coast. But Cote d'Ivoire is in West Africa. You know, Africa, there kind of curves and has that round part that juts out. And we're kind of right at the bottom of that round part that juts out, next to countries like Mali and Burkina Faso and Ghana and Liberia. And Yamoussoukro, I found out a lot of interesting information about it since I've been here. It is the political capital of the country. I heard that one of the first presidents was from Yamoussoukro and really wanted this to become the capital. And they built these wonderful buildings, including the world's largest church. It's a Catholic church. But then the capital never officially moved here. So it's a political capital, but Abidjan still kind of continues as the economic capital, yeah. Which is so fascinating that you know, they kind of have these two locations that happens.
I think it's in some other country in Africa here, that's the context. Like yeah. In Nigeria, we still maintain Lagos as the economic capital, while Abuja is the political capital.
Interesting, I didn't know that.
The reason is when the whites were during the independence season, yeah. Colonial season, the capitals were placed at the sea, but coastal lines.
Yeah.
So for security reasons now, the countries decide to push the capitals at the center of the nation to make it difficult for
makes
aggression.
A lot of sense. Yeah, yes. That makes a lot of sense. So. Well, that's really helpful information. Thanks for sharing that.
All right.
And Pastor Chris and his wife, Jennifer, are both live in Abidjan as pastors, right? Pastors
yes.
In Abidjan?
Yes. We are here for probably, I came since 1998.
I was going to say, but you're not originally from Cote d'Ivoire. You yes. Speak English very well. In Ivory Coast, they speak French and a lot of other kind of tribal languages. But you speak English very well because you're originally from?
I am from Nigeria.
Nigeria.
My wife also is from Nigeria.
Wow. And you've been here for how long, did you say?
I came in 1998. It's well of about 26 years.
Wow. That's a long time.
And my wife came in 2000.
Okay.
And all our children were born here.
All of your children were born here?
Yes, I have three.
Okay, what are their names?
The first one is Janice.
Okay.
Second one is Sarah.
Okay.
And the third one is Chris.
Wow. Chris, just like you.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Okay.
Well, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to interview you is because I got a hold of, it's called Your House, My Home, International Testimony of the Lord's Strength. This was written by Cheryl Barton, or edited by Cheryl Barton. These are testimonies from around the world. She did lots of these little booklets. I think this one said it's the seventh one that she did. But as I was flipping through it, as it was handed to me, I saw a familiar face, though a much younger
yes.
picture.
That's 25
of Pastor
years
Chris
ago.
25 years ago.
Yeah.
And you shared your story of being in Nigeria and getting involved in a dangerous cult.
Yeah.
And then not feeling safe to leave that cult. And so having to flee the country,
yes,
came here, became a Christian. And in this picture, 25 years ago, you were just starting as a, it says, a Sunday school children's teacher in Cote d'Ivoire.
Yes.
Wow. So this was 25 years ago. What's happened since then?
Actually, when I came here, by God's special arrangement, I met with Pastor Larry. Then he was in Abidjan with the wife. So as God would have it, it was through his ministry I got totally restored to the faith.
Wow.
I came from a Christian family. My father was a pastor.
Because in Nigeria, there's a strong Christian, but there's also a strong Muslim back
there. Yeah, we are from the East. The East are Christians.
Very Christian, yeah.
Okay, so somewhere in my university years, I abandoned the faith totally for 10 full years.
Wow.
So within that period, I joined a very demonic, a very dangerous cult called Sons of Darkness.
Wow.
So many things happened. By the time I felt like I have to leave, I knew what it means to leave.
Yeah.
Because from the oath of entrance, you are in alive, can only go out dead.
Wow. So you make an oath that you will never leave unless you're dead.
There is a blood covenant as you enter that you can only go out dead.
Wow.
So I knew it would be difficult for me. They must come behind me. They must come after me.
Yeah.
So I have to leave the country.
Yeah.
And I come in here, I met Larry. And by the grace of God, his welcome and everything he did. The first day I met him, the first day I attended the church, he was preaching as if someone told him about me.
Wow.
So I was initially embarrassed.
Yeah, even that kind of startles you when it feels like someone's talking.
Somebody tell you about me, why you need to make a message?
Yeah.
So when later I tried to confront him, actually there was nobody that told him anything about me.
Wow.
It was just that the Spirit of God spoke to me directly through him. And from that time, I decided to give up everything and attach myself to the family of Christ again.
Wow.
And when the news get to Nigeria, my father was very, very happy. And the people I thought they would kill me, by the time I pick up courage to go and confront them, they only decided to let me leave.
Wow.
And I'm
so you feel released from that. That's
totally released from that.
Wow. So you came here to Cote d'Ivoire, though, at first without your wife. And we're here for a couple years.
I came here in 1998, January 15th of 1998.
And when did you meet Larry? Was that in, did you say 1999?
I met Larry December 1998 in June of 1998.
Okay, wow.
I came in January. I met him in June.
Okay.
I joined the Church of God in June.
Wow.
So by the August of that same year, Madam was about to set up training for Sunday school teachers.
Okay.
And fortunately, I was the first person she selected with two with two other sisters from Yamsokro here.
Okay.
I was the only person from Abidjan. Yeah, there is a one sister, Sylvie, and one other Esther from Abidjan, Yamsokro here.
Yeah.
They were to participate with me in the training. I was among the first group that Madam Larry trained as Sunday school teachers.
Wow.
So after her coaching us, training us, I actually moved into work. I worked that time as the leader of the children's department in the Church of God in De Plateau, Abidjan, for a very long time.
And then a year and a half or so later, your wife joined you?
Yes. Actually, when I felt I want to get married, I spoke with some friends here. Actually, I had wanted to marry somebody here, but the younger sister of a pastor, that was Pastor Daniel, that passed away.
Okay.
He used to be my very tight friend because he understands English.
Okay.
So then I wasn't good in French. So by the time I tried, it didn't work out.
Yeah.
I have to go to Nigeria. And I never knew my wife. But one of the pastors that my father raised helped me that there is a lady in their church that actually, because they know me and they know my father, if I want to get married, they will love me to marry a Christian.
Wow.
In fact, the pastor told me that for all his time in ministry, he's a very old man. He's been long in the ministry. He said he has never recommended any person for marriage because they could disappoint you. But my wife, he said he took the risk to recommend her because, in fact, he took me to the office telling me that the risk he's taking, he knew that the person he's recommended will not disappoint, that she's a Christian, not just a church member, but
not just by name, but a true
Christian.
Wow.
So that was how immediately we were introduced, I think in August, and I told them I want to get married immediately. We thought it would happen before December, but the church program didn't allow before December. So by January of 2000.
So you met in August and you were married in January?
We met in August 99.
Okay, and married in January of 2000.
We married in January.
So you knew each other for only a few months before you got married.
And we don't actually know each other because I was in Cote d'Ivoire. I visited, I visited Nigeria, I think, 3 times within that period.
What was that like, not knowing the person you were going to... You trusted this person who recommended.
I trusted the person that recommended that. And I trusted... When I saw her, I knew I've seen my wife.
Well, and Sister Jennifer, you must have trusted that as well. To step into that relationship. That's a lot of faith.
Of course, I prayed and God confirmed it. Mm. Like, I have been praying for marriage, for a husband. And when I met him, God confirmed that he's the one.
Wow.
There's no need to waste time and continue praying. Since God has said he is the one, don't we have to get married.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And so then you grew up in Nigeria. So then suddenly you were uprooted as well to come back to Cote d'Ivoire. What did you think when, were you excited to go and live in Cote d'Ivoire? Was that something that you were nervous about? Like, how did you process that whole experience? I mean, you just decided you're going to marry this person and now your whole life is changing.
Yes, because I prayed what I asked God to give to me. Before he came, I saw it in a dream. I had a dream and I saw myself in a one supermarket buying something with a currency I did not even know. Not dollar, not naira.
Yeah.
The currency, I didn't know the currency. I say, then after... When we got married, we came to Abidjan. When we are, there is a supermarket called Sokose in Abidjan. When we entered there, the picture of the dream came.
Oh, wow.
Exactly the place I saw in my dream and the currency I saw in my dream. Exactly. I said, wow, this is the place that God showed me.
I love that. I think when we step out in faith, God gives us those moments to remind us that we're not alone. Mm-hmm. You know, that God planned this. This isn't a surprise to God, mm-hmm. even if it may be a surprise and a challenge for us.
Yes.
That's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. So, Pastor Chris, you're a pastor now at a church. So, are you the senior? Are you the head pastor at a church?
Yes, I'm the leading pastor in the church in the plateau.
Okay, in Abidjan.
In Abidjan, yes.
Okay. And that's about 2-3 hours from here, right?
It's 3 hours if you're not on a speed mood.
If you drive the speed limit.
Yes. If you are very fast, you can make it within 2 hours and 2 hours, 30 minutes.
Okay. Mm. So tell me about your church. What is it like? Well, if I were to come on a Sunday morning for church service, what would I experience?
Well, the family of God is just a very wonderful place to worship God. We initially started in my sitting room.
Oh, wow. So just in your home?
It's in my home.
Wow.
We started in my sitting room, my wife. Then my daughter was there. We began to evangelize within the community there to a point that the sitting room became too small, too tiny for us. Yep. We have to move out on the road. Actually, we're on the road.
Okay.
We're on the road. We don't have any place for the church.
Just outside?
Outside my building. It's outside my flat. We just put up a hangar.
Okay.
A shelter.
Yeah.
On the road there.
Because it's hot outside. You would not want to stand outside in the sun for very long.
So we put a shelter.
Yeah.
Wooden shelter. That is where we meet.
Wow.
Only that when the crisis came, it affected the church and the church almost emptied.
Wow.
At the time, we were numbering around 60 adults. But the war came and many people left Abidjan.
When you're talking about the crisis, you mean?
The 2011 crisis.
Yes, when there was a lot of political issues.
Yes.
So not just about the church, but it was all of Cote d'Ivoire dealing with.
All of Cote d'Ivoire. Yeah. All of Cote d'Ivoire.
Yeah.
So we continued as we're doing.
Yeah.
That was actually a time I left Church of God.
Wow.
For almost 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
And I finally came back again.
Wow.
Not that I left Church of God. The church used to be in our quarters in the plateau, in Abidjan. At the point, the missionaries decided to move the church to another location, very far from us.
Yeah.
We're not able to meet up, so we joined another church.
Yeah.
Not that we joined another church, we started one in my house.
Yeah.
So when the missionaries saw that there is a church we started in my house, he approached me and asked whether we'll be willing to come and join back the family of Church of God. I said, no, without any problems.
Yeah.
I just explained to the members of the church that this is the church we started here.
Yeah.
This is how the church left for another quartier. And when they asked me, there is no other church where we have our allegiance.
Yeah.
So I told them we are back with Church of God. We'll be happy to be back with Church of God. By then, it's in Yamoussoukro here.
Okay.
We have to come and meet the committee, executive committee here in Yamoussoukro. And the church was officially declared to be Church of God.
Wow.
And since then, we've been together.
Well, and now you're on the executive committee for the Church of God. You're one of those leaders.
Yes, I am one of the leaders of the... I am a member of the executive committee. But on the local level, also in the church in my house, we have... It's a colorful church because my assistant is from Congo.
Oh, wow. So you have a couple different countries represented
yes,
there.
We
That's
have
cool.
Other countries there and other tribes. So many tribes are mixed up.
Yeah.
So actually, it's a very small group with a very big heart.
So if I'm there on a Sunday and you guys do worship music, I assume.
Yes.
Is it fairly... Have you ever been to worship in the United States?
I have not been to United
because
States.
Because sometimes worship can be pretty timid and quiet. And I don't think people recognize necessarily how joyful worship is in Africa. If we were here at your church in Abidjan, what would the singing be like? Would there be dancing? Would there be singing?
Actually, in African culture, worship is more about dancing and making noise, even for even for traditional gods.
It's a full body experience,
yes,
right?
Yes. So during our worship session in the church, we make noises, we dance, we jump, we become mad.
Yep.
We demonstrate.
Yep.
Yeah, we love to dance, we love to clap hands, jump up, do so many things to express our worship to God.
Yep.
Yeah, so you will like it if you come.
It's a very expressive faith, and I love that. I mean, even this morning, our worship this morning was so lively and joyful. And
there was no worship here. There was no dancing.
There was some dancing.
No, there
in the
was
front.
No dancing.
That didn't count as dancing.
When we dance, you will know, you will understand. When we dance, you will understand. There was no dancing here.
Well, and Sister Jennifer, you've led worship while we've been here and have done such a wonderful job singing and leading. Do you lead worship at the church there in Abidjan?
No.
Okay. You have a beautiful voice. You sing so wonderfully. Thank you for leading us here.
No, I don't lead worship in Abidjan. I only help because there's nobody to sing and to lead there. That's why I joined them.
Well,
if
you
not,
did wonderful.
I'm not a singer.
I think you were a singer. It was great. So no. Do you have a role at the church? Are you in charge of any ministries that go on at the church?
Yes. I'm the leader of the prayer team.
Okay.
In the church, evangelical team.
When you say
church.
Evangelical team, does that mean like someone that goes out in the community? And
yes, wonderful. Goes out in the community, house to house evangelism.
House to house, okay.
Once in a week. Wow. Every Tuesday, we go out in the quartier to evangelize.
And just knock on people's doors and...
We knock at their door and preach and streets and preach in the street also. People that are going, you stop them and give them flyers about Jesus, tell them about Jesus, witness to them.
Wow. That's great. So you're part of that team
yes.
and the prayer team?
Yes.
That's wonderful.
And then the leader of the women in the church.
Okay. That's awesome.
Add to that, she's a member of the local church committee.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful. So you have a leadership role in the church
yes,
as well.
Yes, in our church in De Plateau, women are involved in every level of leadership.
I love that. The conversation today then probably really felt empowering, I would assume, because, I mean, it was very much about the importance of women in leadership. Well, and I know there are different perspectives on that here in Cote d'Ivoire. But I'm grateful that you're able to have that space of leadership in the church.
Practically, we have almost equal. We have about four men, four women in our leadership team.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, and I love that Reverend Milas saying, when she asked, how many of your churches have more women than men? And everybody raised their hand.
There are more women in all churches.
Yeah. And they
there
said,
are all more women in all churches.
And she said, well, that's why you need women leaders then. I thought that was such a good reminder. I also want to say, you're part of the executive leadership team, and so is Pastor Ehusu. He's the executive superintendent who is leading the charge, and it's been really wonderful to get to know him. I wanted to talk with him as well, but he's a French speaker, and since most of the people listening don't know French, it would be a little bit more challenging. But I do want to thank him and the leadership team for their good work here. The food has been wonderful. It has been very different than what I'm used to, but it has been delicious.
That's fine. You're welcome.
And the worship has been great, and the conference, I just... Thank you so much for opening up your church. I know it took a lot of work to plan and prepare for that. I know that you've housed people from Burkina Faso and Liberia, and there's been a lot of extra time and energy. I mean, you guys are from Abidjan. You drove out here. I think you're staying somewhere at a hotel around here, right? And so, I mean, it's been a lot of extra work. And so I just want to say thank you so much for all that you're doing.
You're welcome. Thank you for your observation.
It's been a really good week. Okay, so last question. The name of the podcast is A World of Good. And one of the things I like to do is ask, what good is God doing in your world? So maybe a story of a time when you've experienced God's goodness recently. I'd love to hear from both of you. If either of you have a story of God's goodness in your life recently.
Actually, God has been so good to us in all areas of our daily life. Yeah. Like we're saying today, my wife and myself are totally committed in the work we do as leaders. Mm. And so all the children, they are part of the system. Mm. And that has been a very interesting thing to us, that when they have anything to ask of God, God always answered them. I'll give one example. My first daughter, we applied for naturalization here for a very long time.
Okay, so was she born here?
They were all born here.
Even though she was born here?
No, you must demand.
Wow. Okay.
So we applied for it for a very long time. It has not been true up till now.
Wow.
And she just finished her university in December.
Wow, so she just finished university and was just naturalized?
Without being naturalized.
Wow.
And she got a job this February.
Wow.
She just got a job.
Wow.
And my second daughter is also a miracle. She chose to attend a school that is reserved only for Ivorians.
But she's not a naturalized classic. Citizen.
The school is one of there's a very special school, the best school that the government has here in Abidjan. It is reserved for Ivorians.
Wow.
If not for the ministers and people in government and the rich. Well, my daughter just woke up and said, "Daddy, that is the school I want to attend." It was very difficult for us to, but we just say, put it to God in prayers. And I don't understand how God works. Whether it is because of her, that very year, the issue of nationality was removed in the admission into that school.
Wow.
So she entered that school not as an Ivorian.
Wow.
As a Nigerian, she entered the school and she will be passing out this year. She will be entering university this year, my second daughter.
Wow. How exciting.
The Lord is being faithful to us in every other area of life. When we move out for missions, sometimes I'll go with my wife. We have affected so many places in this land. Sometimes there are other missions that will invite us to assist them, to help them in church planting, because this is the area we've been dedicated to. So the Lord has been faithful to us, protecting, providing. He has been very faithful to us. My wife will add to that.
Yeah. And just to add to that, while you're taking the microphone, Chris, Pastor Chris, you did a wonderful job with your church planting seminar. You did a conference, for those that don't know, did a conference during this about church planting. It was so helpful and challenging to people that the church is about going out and connecting with people and giving really practical ways to make that happen. So thank you for that.
God has been faithful. Just to remind, maybe he forgot something, second daughter. It was not removed. When they say it's only Ivorians will be in that school. She just prayed. And in their school, because she was brilliant, her former school wrote Ivorian in her documents.
They just put that in there
they
and sent
put
it in.
Ivorian in her documents. So she was transferred to that school.
Oh my.
As I know, an Ivorian up to today is Ivorian in her documents.
Wow.
Even when we noticed it, we went there for them to correct it. They said no, that we should leave it. That they did it expressly.
So you even knew like this is wrong, we gotta go make sure it's corrected. And they said no.
We went there and said that she's a Nigerian, she's not an Ivorian. They said we should leave it. That they know what they are doing. They want her to be in that school.
They want her to be in the school.
That's the hand of God.
Wow.
That's the work of God. God has been faithful in all around. Has been faithful to us. We are thankful to God. And her going to mission, sometimes he will go running from Abidjan to Danani, West Coast. He will be there doing the work of planting church. The battle with the forces of darkness is not easy to go to the camp of the enemy to take anyone. It's a battle, spiritual battle. but we support him always in prayers.
Yeah.
And he always come back safely with testimonies.
Mm.
Life given to given to Jesus. People coming to Jesus in those villages have been doing it for years. But we are grateful to God for being with us, for strengthening our hand in the ministry.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that, Sister Jennifer. And I will be praying for you. I encourage people listening to this to be praying for you guys in the ministry that God's called you to. So grateful for all that you're doing.
You're welcome.
So grateful to be here and to see this space and to read this story. For those listening, I will try to make a copy of this and put it in the show notes so that you can read the original story from 25 years ago and then match that with the story of how God continues to work in your lives, continues to draw you closer to God, and that your kids as well get to be a part of that God's faithfulness. And you guys stepped out, risked a lot to come to another country that didn't even speak the same language, that didn't have the same customs and cultures or the same currency, the same money. You came and you created a space and have committed yourself to helping people find Jesus in this place. And I just thank you for that.
You're welcome. It's a very good, wonderful transition from a Sunday school teacher, now to a member of the National Executive Committee.
Yeah.
Within 25 years, only God can do that.
Amen.
And we'll continue to move forward with him.
Thank you so much, Pastor Chris.
You're
and
welcome.
Sister Jennifer, we appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter, at A World of Good Pod. On Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.